Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us from ESPN, it is Mina Kimes. Good afternoon, Mina.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Great piece on Baker Mayfield. Obviously, all of us here in Cleveland loved it. When talking to Baker and writing that about Baker, was there something that you felt like you learned about Baker only because you were around him?
Yeah, a few things. Well, this wasn't from being around him, but I didn't know until I talked to his mom, Gina, that he was like a quiet, shy rules follower as a kid. So that was probably the most surprising piece of information I came across. But just from being in his presence, you know, I had heard about his charisma and sort of emotional intelligence, his social skills. I had obviously heard the infamous Hugh Jackson Pied Piper analogy, but I think you kind of have to be around him to get that experience, see how good he is at connecting to people so quickly and kind of getting them on his side. He certainly has that quality that I think maybe like politicians have, if I'm being honest, that you don't really encounter in everyone. And I was I came away pretty impressed by it.
How does Baker Mayfield continue to put the chip on his shoulder, even though he's not the walk-on anymore? He's not being counted out anymore. He was the number one overall pick. He had the most touchdown passes ever by a rookie. How does he continue to do it?
Well, I think he looks for other sources of motivation. You know, he knows he's not an underdog, right? He knows he was the number one pick. He knows he was the best rookie quarterback last year and obviously broke the passing record. But he also knows he plays for Cleveland, right? And as much hype as the city has, this team has right now, they still have to prove it. And there's still a lot of trash talk. There are still people who are not believers. There are still critics. I think it's no coincidence that a lot of his, I guess you'd call them beefs, are not about him these days. They're about the Browns. They're about Odell Beckham Jr. They're on behalf of various teammates. He will versus them scenario just as he has his entire life.
Mina, why do you think Baker likes Freddie so much?
I think Baker really values honesty and authenticity, and I think Freddie Kitchens has that in spades. I mean, I'm sure he's also pleased with the effect that Freddie had on the offense, right? And that, in the piece I kind of mentioned, and you guys know all too well, like Freddie's play calling, but a lot of things came together at the last season, at the end of the season, that resulted in the offense kind of exploding like it did, Baker staying on his feet. And some of it, by the way, was it wasn't Freddie. It was just Baker developing as a quarterback, getting rid of the ball quicker, getting used to his time in the NFL. But I think the fact that he had that success under Freddie was obviously a wonderful start to their relationship. Couple that with the fact that they see a little bit of each other. Like, Freddie himself said, you know, I look at Baker and I identify with being judged, being misperceived. And I think Baker feels the same way.
Talking with Mina Kimes from ESPN. She wrote a piece on ESPN Right Now for ESPN the magazine called Baker Mayfield Isn't Afraid of the Hype. Mina, obviously there's another way that this season can go for the Browns. Not a lot of people want to see it that way, but if it doesn't get off to the start with the high expectations, the excitement, the energy around it that a lot of people expect, how do you think Baker handles that?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Because it's one thing to be yourself and say what you think and talk trash, and it's another to do all of those things when you encounter adversity. This time last year, I do an NFL profile every summer for ESPN, and this time last year, I did it on Jalen Ramsey, who you guys remember, might remember, talked a lot of trash, and his team did not back it up, and he kind of suffered for it. And so I do think it's going to be uniquely challenging for Baker if they struggle a lot out of the gate, and which isn't to say I don't think he's capable of handling that. He's been through adversity before. Yes, he did play for winning programs all the way back through high school, but you guys remember last year he came in, lost a bunch of games, and I think that's something to look at how he handled himself during that losing streak. Amidst all that turmoil in Cleveland, the reality show, the circus, he kept his head down and he went to work. And I think that bodes well for any adversity in the future.
Mina, is the beef between Baker and Colin real, or do they like each other deep down?
Oh, Cowher?
Yeah.
I think he kind of nodded to, he was like a little bit winking about it in the story. I hope okay. that came across. Like he knows, let me put it this way. Baker Mayfield is 24 years old and he knows what trolling is. I don't think a lot of, like, not every quarterback in the NFL knows like how to do that. It's very generational, right? In many ways, Baker, I think, is kind of a different generation. And I think he is able to look at Cowher. I think he definitely disagrees with him. And I think, especially when he says stuff about Odell. But I also think he thinks that he can have fun with it.
You know, I found it fascinating when you mentioned in the article where he sometimes goes through, like, Cowherd's Twitter feed and find just when he wants to, like, stir something up, like he wants to troll, like you mentioned there. That's fascinating to me because, you know, you don't as you say, I mean, most players don't do that. They don't go digging for people talking trash about them.
Yeah, Matt Ryan's not on the internet doing that. And I personally, I mean, you know, anyone can feel some kind of way about it. I find it pretty harmless. I mentioned the piece. Honestly, like, the only thing I think in terms of, like, speaking out where there was real backlash was with the Duke Johnson comment because, A, that was his teammate, and B, that sort of touched this third rail in the NFL, which is business, right? Talking about players and their contracts. Other than that, I find his other conflicts to be fairly harmless.
Do you think he learned from that, Mina?
Well, I don't know. I unfortunately didn't get a chance to follow up with Baker about that. I did see the reports from Mike Silver about veterans approaching him. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised because he has evolved. He does change. And, you know, for example, in the story, I mentioned that I asked him about Cliff Kingsbury, right, who he had a clash with in obviously a different situation, but he had a clash with in college after Texas Tech and the stuff that went on there. And I said, oh, you must be excited about facing the Cardinals. He was like, nah, Cliff and I are cool now. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, apparently they met and they made up and buried the hatchet. So he's definitely, I don't think he's, you know, this lifelong grudge holder that some people might perceive.
I mean, how do you think marriage is going to change him?
I mean, I'm married. As those of you guys who are, we are all changed by it in some ways. You know, his wife, now wife, yeah, Emily, told me that they're home buddies in Cleveland and, you know, everyone kind of describes himself as a home buddy, but I think it's only a good thing.
How do you think Baker's personality will mesh with the big personalities of Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Miles Garrett, some of these other guys?
I think with the offense in particular, I don't think Baker, with the social intelligence he has, I don't think that's any problem for him off the field in terms of relating to those guys. What I do think is an issue with Cleveland, and you guys know, is that's a lot of mouths to feed on that offense. And that's not just those guys. That's, you know, throwing the ball to Nick Chubb, Joku. So I think that actually is always an interesting and unique challenge for a quarterback when you do have a lot of talent at the skill positions.
You know, the comments that Baker had talking about Odell and, you know, playing in front of fans, kind of taking a shot at the Giants fan base.
Yeah.
That didn't go over too well in New York, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, I know. When he said that, I was like, ah! And then I looked at the schedule immediately afterwards to see if they were playing, and I was disappointed to see they were not. But, you know, he kind of, like, can't help himself, I feel like, especially when he is defending someone. Probably, was it, like, necessary? I don't know, and you could take it any kind of way, but I would go back to what I said earlier, which is I think, apology if there's noise, I'm at the Miami airport now. I would say unless it's at your own team, unless you're taking shots at your own teammates, it doesn't really make a big difference.
Mina, you wrote in the piece that he's not afraid of the hype. He welcomes it. This is the kind of platform that he's been waiting for. Do you think he's good enough to handle all of what comes with being this kind of guy?
I do. I think he is tremendous. I really liked him as a prospect coming out of college just purely because of the accuracy, which you got, you know, is something you can't teach at a certain level. He's one of the most accurate college quarterbacks I've ever seen. Obviously, that played out in Cleveland. His development as a quarterback, again, going back to Freddie Kitchens did a lot for him. The offensive line did a better job for him. Getting Chubb involved did a better job for him. But he also did very well by himself, developing over the course of the season. And people always talk about rookie quarterbacks and the second season, like, oh, they're going to have the tape on them. Watch out. I don't really see that as a concern with him, given his strengths and weaknesses. I don't think he's an easy quarterback to game plan against because of the accuracy and also the decision-making, which is really where he has the potential to grow in this sophomore season.
Mina, do you think the Browns are the best team in the North?
Oh, no question in my mind. They're the good on paper team, right? And obviously that doesn't always work out. And Freddie Kitchens having the meteoric rise that he did, not having interviewed for a coordinator job, as I described my piece, and becoming a head coach, that brings its own unique set of challenges. It's not a perfect roster. I have a lot of concerns about the offensive line, tackle position, the defense. We'll see, kind of needs to come together. But they are pretty, I mean, this team is stacked. And when you go team by team in the AFC North, to me, they clearly have the most talent of any roster.
Mina, last thing from me, I know you cover the NFL. I'm sure you have an opinion about this. What do you think about Tyreek Hill not being suspended at all?
I was surprised, guys. I did not think it would be a long suspension based on what I had read about the case, the fact that the police department there didn't, have enough conclusive evidence made me think that the NFL, even though heaven knows that hasn't always stopped them, might not come down on him for that. But I thought because he was on tape making a threatening comment towards the mother of his children, who, he did plead guilty to abusing in 2014. There was a police report that outlines the physical evidence. I thought because of that admission, there would be some sort of suspension because the NFL has suspended players for doing that, making threats in the past, and there was nothing.
Do you think there's any concern from the NFL about its image when it comes to suspensions for certain things and shorter suspensions for other things?
I think there are concerns, but I think there should be, especially after. I mean, I obviously there's total inconsistency, and people criticize them a lot for that. I think it's very, very hard to have like a strict standard on any of this because everything is case by case.
Right.
But for me, just looking at this particular case and the dynamics I described, especially the history, I think that they should have done more.
Mina, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it, and great job with the piece.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.